I am really excited about what's about to happen. We often pray here for signs and wonders. Today we are going to see a sign and a wonder. I want you to listen to the word of the Lord from Ephesians. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. The media, the politicians will tell you as they rant and rave that peace is impossible and that divided people will never be one. God has a different view of that. So what I'm excited about, and I want you to be expectant about, is what we're going to hear this morning, because we're going to hear two men share a story. One of those is a tank commander in the Israeli army. He served for 2 years and continues to serve in the reserve. And if you know your history, you know what that means, what it means to be a tank commander. The other person is an Arab-speaking Palestinian. The world demands and expects that for all time that they will hate each other, and they will express their hate with bullets and bombs. It's a very real thing. But what you're going to hear this morning are these two men who are going to share with you the thing that binds them, that they are believers and followers of Yeshua, that they are Christians living in the Middle East and ministering through the house of prayer in Jerusalem called Sukkot Hallel. And it is an honor and a privilege to have them. Some of us got to meet Joel Jelski and his wife Teresa several years ago and have continued to support them and follow them and keep up with their work. And it's a remarkable work. And today they have with them a friend, Milad Khoury. I love the fact that Milad was born in Nazareth, and he lived not only in Gaza but in Bethlehem. And these two men are Christians, and they minister together through the house of prayer in Jerusalem to bring the word of God in the name of Jesus to people in the Middle East. So this is going to be good. So Joel is here with his wife, Teresa. Would you guys come up? And Milad, you come up too. You're going to have a chance when we finish today to just come around them and pray for them. But right now, we're just going to pray with them before they share. And to show honor and respect to them, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'd just like you to reach your hand out to them as we pray over them this morning.
Yes.
What a blessing it is, Father, to see your word fulfilled in these men. To know that while more Christians than ever are dying for their faith in the world, more people are coming to know you every day than has ever happened in the history of the world.
Yes.
And it is because of men and women like these three that is happening. So I just pray that you will bless them this morning, that you will give them the words that you want to speak, that we will receive what you have for us, Lord, so that we will know more when we leave here about tearing down the walls of hostility that divide us and separate us. We thank you for these, and we thank you for others that minister and worship with them and follow you in the Middle East.
Yes.
And we bless them and honor them.
Yes.
And ask you to continue to walk with them every day of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're very happy to be here. I am going to have Milad share first. Milad has become a very good friend of mine over the last 2 years or so. And I'm very happy that he's traveling with me. He's a very, very passionate young man. He's very passionate for the Lord. He loves to impart that passion and that love to other young people. And he loves just bringing reconciliation. He hates seeing people hate each other over things that don't matter and will be done away with. And his heart is to really see reconciliation between people groups and people that are supposed to hate each other. And God has really put a love in his heart, and I'm really honored to have him here with me. So Milad, you're going to go ahead and share first.
Thank you, everyone. It's really a privilege. It's a privilege to be in this church. God bless you, everybody. Amen. Can you please show the first picture? No, first picture, not the video, please. Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, I just want to say that this Israeli map, I just want to share that. This West Bank, Gaza Strip. I'm living in West Bank, that's in Bethlehem. I grew up in Gaza 14 years. Down Gaza Strip, as you see. Nazareth up, where I born from. So I'm the Nazarene. Yeah, so thank the Lord. God is really working my heart to love Jewish people and the Arabs too. Not only the Jewish people. And what was happening in my heart, one of my brothers in Christ was killed in Gaza. So I was having really hard times because, hey, God, I want to really love even my Arabic people. And even Israeli attacking Gaza Strip and Gaza Strip attacking Israel. So God was really dealing with my heart to love the both people. As it's written in Matthew 5:44, it said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So this is what simple is, to love our enemies and to love our own people. It's important to see the situation right now in the Middle East, as we know. It's difficult, it's getting more tense. There are lots of hatred is rising up. Like, for example, here is like all of this area, lots of tension. Palestinians hate Jordan. Jordan hates Palestinians. Egyptians hate Palestinians. Palestinians hate Jordan. Like, it's messed up. So I just want to say that, guys, it's really difficult. It's not easy, but what I love about God, that he is really providing his love always in our hearts, to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. I just want to share a verse from the Bible as Brother Bill was reading it. It said, but it's now, okay, loading up. Okay, so Ephesians 2:13, 16. It said, but now, in Christ Jesus, you that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one and break down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body into God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So I believe we are family. We are one new man. Maybe we are from really another planet in the world, but we are really in one new man. Like, I'm just seeing you guys. And me too, like, if you're coming to the Middle East, all of you really would love to serve you and would love to serve each other. So I'm just feeling that I'm giving you the hand. We will love you guys. And one new man, really, we are one new man. Yes. And I know this is different culture sometimes. I'm Arab and Christian, but what I look for is to see God is doing and sending laborers to our nation, to Israel, to the Middle East. We really are praying for laborers to be sent out, and from even the Palestinian areas like West Bank and Gaza Strip. There are many things to share. I don't have much time, but I just want to go to the second picture, please. Okay. When I get out from Gaza Strip, I went to Jordan. I continue my studies in BA in psychology. And then I just was praying, God, I just returned back to Israel, and then I want to serve the Lord. I said, God, please help me know where do you want me to be sent. And then I found out that the House of Prayer would like, and me, I would like to be in touch with them. And now God is using me to unite the Arabs and Jewish people together. Like I'm a bridge between the Arabs and Jewish. If you like this, it's not easy, guys. And if you are connecting with a Jewish ministry in the land, by the way, you are betraying your own people because you are serving with the Jewish believers or Jewish too, because something like will be shown up. So Elav Conference is one of the huge conferences that is happening for the youth in the land, and will be the conference in July 11th, another time this year, for 3 days. This is really significant about this conference, that even we're trying to have small gatherings, not only big gathering like 1,000 people. There are 300 Arabs, 400 Jewish. We're meeting together and really praying for each other, because when we worship, the walls will come down. And there are many, many stuff that will come down. Many, many stuff, because our focus is only Jesus, not our politics, because the politics, no solution politics. No politics. By the way, we... yeah. So, by the way, sometimes you love the politics. Yeah, is that right? But I want to tell you something. I prefer to see Jesus is increasing in the Middle East than seeing politics are increasing in the Middle East. So, yeah. So this conference, we don't talk about politics. We prefer not to talk at all. And there are some tension, like Jewish meeting Arabs, but still, this is really important that our focus is to come and to worship the Lord. So I just want to show this video, please, right now. And let's see it. The one who is sitting in the chair, he's Palestinian, and the one now is Jewish believer. There were 15 Jordanians are coming from Jordan, and here are they. Yeah.
Because I know Jesus
Just let's. Yeah, I just want to share a verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It said, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land." So it's not easy, guys. It's not easy. It's what's happening here. It's really what we need this to happen, because when God is talking about the humility, he's really talking to you too. And we're really asking you guys to pray for your nation and for you too. Like when I went to North Iraq, there is one picture, this, the last picture I would be sharing. Can you go to the third picture, please? No, the third picture, please. Yeah, okay. When I was going there to North Iraq, I will not say much, but I just want to say that God was really talking to me about the humility. Even in the room, sometimes it's hard to connect with people until you will humble yourself. And I was in the room, me and Joel, and just bowing down and saying, "God, I'm not worthy to untie your shoes. Please, God, I want more from your humility in my heart to love the people that I'm serving with. So I want to say, God, pour out your humility over us." So this is what I really pray for. And thank you for hearing me. And it's really nice to speak. God bless you. Yeah.
Don't you love that guy? Amen. Well, Abba, I ask that you will speak through me, and I thank you for the heart that you have given this church and this place. Father, we thank you for Milad and his word. Father, I ask that you would move in humility in our hearts as you desire to reconcile between the peoples of the earth. In Yeshua's name, amen. If we can go to the picture on the PowerPoint that starts with Isaiah 19. This is going to be the verse that we'll be sharing from today. I want to say, first of all, I love this church. This is my third time here. I love the people in this church. I love the worship. It was so awesome to see you just jumping up on the stage. He was just jumping and so excited about the worship. Like, it was the first time he was worshiping, and it got me excited about being in the worship, and it was just awesome. You took us high. Thank you so much. And I really love the people in this church. We were here last year, and you were having a special meeting with a group from, it was a home from up north that with kids that have special needs, and they take care of children. They did a concert here, and me and my wife were just really moved by the heart that this church has to serve. And it is not very common, and we just love that. Every time we come here, we feel at home because we love the heart that is in this church. So thank you for that. If you can open your Bibles, or you can just see it on here, Isaiah 19, 23 through 25. I don't know if many of you have read this verse, but this is a promise that God has for the Middle East. And I'm going to be sharing from this today. I'm going to share a short testimony. I don't have much time of what the Lord has done in our hearts in this area. And it says, "In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And Assyria will come into Egypt, and Egypt into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship." Okay, that, notice that word, "will worship with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be the third," talking about three being in unity as one, "will be the third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, 'Blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance.'" In these verses, God is taking ownership over the nations of the Middle East. He is saying that Egypt is his people, that Assyria is the work of his hands. He is taking the ownership not only of Israel, but the nations around it, saying, "They belong to me." At that time, they were idol worshipers, and he still said, "They belong to me. I want them. I made them. These are mine." Not only Israel, but also Assyria and Egypt. Let's go to the next map. This is what would have been ancient Assyria and Egypt and Israel back in the time that Isaiah wrote the book. You can see that Israel is right in the middle, the Egyptian kingdom and the Assyrian kingdom in the kind of dark green. Now, a highway that would be built over this region would have to go through Israel. A highway that goes from Assyria to Egypt, because of geographical reasons, there's a sea, the small sea right there, the Red Sea, that divides and prevents you from going around Israel. Today, you cannot build a highway. Back then, you could also not build a highway without going through Israel. And that's God's sovereign plan, that all these nations need each other. Let's go to the next map. You can see highlighted the nations that would have represented the Isaiah 19 highway nations. You can see Egypt on the bottom, the northern part of Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Armenia, and Georgia comprise what would have been the Isaiah 19 or the Assyrian kingdom in that map. What's more interesting is that the real part, or the main part where the Assyrian kingdom was based, was a triangle of southeastern Turkey, western Iran, northern Iraq, and northern Syria. So kind of imagine a circle around that triangle border. That was the main hub of the Assyrian kingdom. The people who inhabit that land today are the Kurdish people. There are 40 million Kurds who mostly inhabit the land that would have been the Assyrian kingdom. And that's significant because the Kurds are not the same as the Arabs. Many times most of them are Muslim, but they are more Kurds than they are Muslims, and they tend to be also very favorable towards Israel. Now, if you look at this region, this whole region is a region of conflict, constant conflict. All these nations on there are constantly in conflict. I can tell you right now about four or five different conflicts that happen in that region. Egypt and Gaza, the Palestinians and Jordan, the Palestinians and Syria, Saudi Arabia and Iran, Turkey and Iran. Iraq and Syria are conflict within themselves, and Israel with pretty much everyone else around it. There is nonstop conflict in this area. But God's heart is to establish a highway. I'm not speaking of a physical highway, but a spiritual highway that will unite his people. He wants to join the hearts of the body of believers around the Middle East in unity. Another thing that the highway serves for was for the king. And Zechariah speaks of the nations gathering in Jerusalem to worship the king, to worship Yeshua when he returns. And a highway would serve for people to be able to travel and go up to Jerusalem. Notice that he says that the Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship together. That word is very important because Isaiah 19 talks mainly about building altars of worship, about tribulations that cause the people to cry out to God. And if you look at this area of the Middle East, it is a place of conflict because God is dealing with the region, trying to turn their hearts to himself. God wants to reconcile between people, but he wants to reconcile the people to himself. He wants to reconcile the nations that he has declared are his own to himself. He desires them, and his heart yearns and burns for the people of the Middle East. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, he says, "At that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken or shakable. That is, things that have been made or done in order that the things that cannot be shaken remain. God is shaking the Middle East. He's allowing for the tribulations because he wants to shake those things that cannot and cannot remain. They must not remain. They steal his glory. They prevent people from knowing him. They bind people in chains. Whole generations that are dying off, losing their family, being binded in chains of death and captivity, of lies. And God is wanting to remove those things. He is shaking the Middle East so he can remove the things that cannot and they must not remain. And the only thing that will remain is his kingdom. The only thing that cannot be shaken is his kingdom being established over the Middle East. That is his heart. He wants to reconcile that which belongs to him and he has claimed as his own. He wants to remove every lie that causes people to turn away to other things and other lies. He desires the worship of the nations. And he not only desires, but he is worthy to receive the worship of the nations. He is worthy to receive the worship of 40 million Kurdish people who don't know him. He is worthy to receive the worship of 1 million Yazidis who have never heard about him. He is worthy to receive the worship of the Palestinians who don't know him. He's worthy to receive the worship of the 7 million Jews who don't know him in Israel. He is worthy to receive the worship of the nations. And the promise is that incense will rise to him across the earth from the nations. Every knee and every tongue will bow and confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is his word and his promise over the Middle East. And the enemy will do anything and everything possible to bring division, to bring hatred, to bind people in those chains because they prevent them from truly knowing him. They prevent them from knowing and worshiping him. When we are bound up in the chains of hatred, we cannot worship the God of love. And that's why worship brings down those walls of separation. That's why God talks about in Isaiah 19, people worshiping together, building altars of worship together. Why? Because ethnic differences, political differences, they all fall down at the feet of Yeshua. They all fall down when you get together and you begin to worship and put your eyes on the one who is worthy, on the one who has brought you together as one, on the one who has died and humbled himself so that you could be one with those around you, so that you could love your enemies as yourself and love your brothers as yourself. I no longer see Milad as an enemy. I hate that. I don't say this, that I mean it this way. I don't like that verse anymore because I don't see Milad as my enemy. Milad is my brother. I don't love him because he's my enemy. I love him because he's my brother. It's gone beyond that. You know, it can start as that. You know, God says, love your enemies. But at some point, you begin to see them as family, as one new man. We're together in this. We're partners. We're God has called us to walk together in unity. He is no longer my enemy. I'm not forced to love him because he's my enemy. I want to love him because he is my brother. Worship joins people's hearts together. In the places where people gather to focus on Yeshua, their differences fall down. And this whole conflict is about worship. It's about God being worthy to receive worship and the enemy doing everything possible to prevent the people of the Middle East from knowing him and worshiping him. The Lord, when I was here a year ago, I had no desire to go together with an Arab person or to travel or minister together with an Arab person. I always thought, you know, I can be their friend, love them, but, you know, he go his way, I go my way, and you know, that's good that way. There's too many differences, too many political differences, too many language differences, culture differences. We can't work together. And I never believed that God would call me to the Middle East. The one day I had a dream while I was here. I was actually at Don and Misha's house. And one night I had a dream. And in this dream, the Lord spoke to me. I had been praying for the refugees for a long time, but I never really believed that I would be the one going there. And in this dream, I actually went into Syria, but I was captured and I was going to be executed. And I was very angry that I had missed the Lord. I had missed what he wanted to do. I was in the wrong place. I shouldn't have been there. And then the Lord spoke to me in the dream and he said, was it worth it all? Was it worth it all? Was it worth it all? And then I woke up and I could feel God was speaking to me. And that day, the Lord changed my heart. And I knew that God was not only sending me into the Middle East, but that God was telling me that you cannot do it alone. That you will not accomplish the fullness of what I desire if you go by yourself. That I had to go with my Palestinian brother. And that day the Lord changed my heart. In Psalm 110, he says, your people will offer themselves freely in the day of your power. And that day when God spoke to me, he changed my heart. That day of power, the day when God speaks to you, and he changed my heart in an instant, and what I was not willing to do before now became a burning passion, and I knew I had to go. I'm going to share with you one testimony because we're out of time, but as the Lord spoke to us in this dream, we felt that we needed to go serve the refugees. When we were in Cyprus in the Middle East conference, there were people there from all over the Middle East. The Lord put a burning desire in my heart that we needed to go and serve the refugees, and we needed to go where other people did not think we could go. There was a 50-hour of prayer and worship that was happening in northern Iraq, and we felt that that's where we needed to represent Israel as part of the Isaiah 19 highway, fulfilling that promise that we will worship together on that highway. And so in about 10 days, we got our trip together. We had a miracle happen that God provided the finances we needed. We bought our tickets 2 days before we left, and in order to get into northern Iraq, we needed special permission. God provided a miracle. Now, why am I sharing this? Because God wants to do away with the borders and the divisions and the things that we believe are not possible to overcome. And where he calls us to go, we go. Where he wants us to be, we go. And God called us to go together. We trusted him. We believed it. And we went. Many people told us, don't go. It's dangerous. Don't go. You're not thinking of your family. You're not being responsible. But we knew that God had called us to go. And the word that he had given me was, it was worth it. It was worth losing it all for that one thing of serving God, of trusting him and following his word. and God did miracles that we could not believe. Maybe I can show you just a few pictures of the refugees that we were with. If we can go to the next picture and you can just go through them rapidly. This is in Duhok, northern Iraq. Beyond those mountains are ISIS-controlled areas. That's the Muslim Brotherhood Center. Next picture. This is us praying over refugees from Mosul and Baghdad, young people, and just blessing them. We got to spend a lot of time with refugees. Next picture. We went to pray over the city of Kobani, which was on the border with Syria. Next. And this is the Yazidi refugee camp that they had. There was 1,000 people there. They had left Iraq. They had nothing. In each one of those cubicles, there's a family of 7 or 8. Many of these people lost their wives, their children. They had nothing, and we were able to just come and serve. We did a lot of activities with the children and just loving on them, and they opened up their homes, their cubicles, their homes, and would invite us in to just to drink tea with them, and they would ask us who we are, why do we even care about them, and we got to share the gospel with hundreds of people that have never heard about Yeshua before. So this was a privilege to be able to do that, and we really believe that the shakings that we are seeing happen in the Middle East are for a purpose and for His glory. If you focus too much on all the problems and all the darkness going on and how bad things are and should we be involved, should we not be involved, should we send weapons or not, should the U.S. send military, should all the political and military questions and all the bad things happening, if you focus on those things, you'll miss what God is doing. And God is shaking the Middle East so that He can remove the things that need to be removed. And that His kingdom will be the only thing that remains there. It will take time. It does not always look like it's possible. You won't see it many times visibly. But pay attention in the spirit to what He is doing. He is moving in the Middle East. And we're praying that God will raise up more and more laborers who will be willing to go where others don't want to go. And we're also praying for God to raise up these one new man teams of Arab and Jew working together to minister in their backyard in the Middle East. Amen. Let's stand together and we can finish with a prayer.
Okay.
We're going to pray over these guys and Joel's wife as well. So let me just say something and then I'll pray. I really think it's important that the whole church, anybody that feels called to come and pray, do that. What I want to say is, as an American, is what God did in your heart to bring Malad, that's the kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God bringing all of you, bringing him together here. This is what we don't see. You know, I mean, I'm not talking about with you. We don't see it among us. That's what I'm talking about. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal. And I think of two or three, you know, we're all small people. But this is a big vision. It's alive. It's a world-changing vision. And really, when you look at the Middle East and you look at all of, my son and my whole family, my son, daughter-in-law, and 5 grandkids spent 5 years in Turkey. And I've been there 5 months. So I got a handle on some of the Middle East. And the separation, the not working together, the alienation, it's very dangerous. And the way he worked on your heart to bring the two of you together, that is going to change the world. That's world changing.
Yes.
And you can have little watered down forms of Christianity. They're not world changing. They're world preserving. They preserve what should not be preserved. And you're right on about the only vision I can even see when you're talking, the only vision I see that's hopeful is what you cast today. That's all. So, God bless you. God bless you. Let's go. I'll lead a prayer, and then anybody else can come around them and pray as long. We kind of go into our second assembly, which goes on for another hour around here. Anybody like to come down and pray? And I'm going to lead a prayer, and then just come on. And then lay hands on them, pray. Lord, we are so much influenced by the world. And I thank you for Joel and Milad. I just thank you for these folks today, especially for this vision that has brought these two together.
Yes.
To see the power of Jesus. And his bringing us together to worship you. And just this witness. God, just thank you. Thank you. Bless this. Bless these men. Bless them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Use them to testify. God, I know there's people that will want to destroy them. There's people that will threaten them. There's people that may want to kill them. There's people that think this shouldn't be. There's so much anger on either side of this. God, I just pray that you use these for your glory, that you give them courage to give out, to live out the original, undiluted, pure gospel that he has made us one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you for this time. We pray for your blessing on them now, wherever they go. Bless them. May your kingdom come on them, on earth as it is in heaven, all of the time, Lord. Come on them. We pray in Jesus' name, and the body says,
Amen.
Amen.